starts to feel a little bit of a Debbie Downer. You know, Michael Pollan, who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma, he has a great quote that said, it's hard to live healthy on an unhealthy planet. And that's true. So remember, we used to always have the 80-20 rule that, you know, moderation is fine. Well, today we don't even have that luxury. We have to keep it as clean as possible, because even then, keeping it as clean as possible, we are still being exposed.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And oh my goodness, it's my Friday night, the start of my weekend. I hope it's the start of your weekend too. As you know, I'm a huge fan of doing fun things, especially on the weekends. I hope you have something great planned. And I have to sort of tattle on myself today. You know how I always talk about tea? I'm tattling. I have a chai tea in here. I know, it's really strong, but it's got homemade almond milk. I don't know if that counts or not, but it is really good. But I thought, oh, I just felt like it today. And sometimes, I know, maybe our guest might shake her finger, but sometimes I just have to treat myself. If my body says, you know, you really feel like that, I figure, okay, I can splurge and have a little of it. So anyway, let me introduce our guest, because I am so excited to have her here. And if you have talked to Dr. Nasha Winters for about 5 minutes, you'll realize that she's a walking encyclopedia for integrative medicines. She is an absolute visionary, and she is the CEO of Optimal Terrain, and that's been inspired by more than 25 years of experience in the healthcare industry as one of the thought leaders of personalized precision medicine. I just go, woohoo, thank goodness, thank everything. Well, one thing I have said all along about my medical care through my autoimmune healing journey is, if somebody would just pay attention more than me to the set of symptoms, I'm sure we could figure this out. So we'll get up more into her bio, because I want you to meet her right now. And during the commercial, right before the commercial breaks, I'll tell you more about her bio, because it's really, really fantastic. And one of the things we're going to talk about today also is her brand new book called The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. Now, you might be going, oh, cancer, Sharon. I have to tell you that she and I absolutely agree that cancer is like one of those biggie autoimmune conditions. You might be going, really? But she's going to tell you why. So welcome, Nasha. So happy to have you here.
Oh, so wonderful, Sharon. Thank you so much. And I feel like we're on the same path here, because I also have dealt with a lifelong pattern of autoimmunity. So these are the things that have informed my understanding in medicine, and as well as what is sort of a part of our book as well. So seems perfect that we're together today.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your story. I was reading the first part of your book where you describe what had you change your vision in medicine. And I say, wow, because I've heard that that diagnosis is often not a good ending. So tell us your story.
Certainly. Well, I did come from, my mom would tell you that I kind of popped out into this world already a day late and a dollar short as far as my health. I had a lot of issues, a lot of digestive issues. I couldn't tolerate any form of milk as a kid, lots of allergies, lots of issues. And by the time I was coming into my hormonal age, a kind of a collection of other autoimmune conditions, including endometriosis. A lot of people don't realize that's actually an autoimmune. Yes. Okay. Polycystic ovarian, same thing. Later in life, found out I had Hashimoto's. See, we got this, right? And later in life, Hashimoto's, as well as when I tested out for some other lovely collections, because as you know, in the autoimmune world, if we have one, especially as women, we tend to collect them. So I also found out I had.
Why couldn't I just collect something like ceramic elephants, you know?
Wouldn't that be great? I would much rather collect ceramic elephants or unicorns, right? So, but that being said, is it wasn't exactly a surprise that into my teens and right before I, the age of 20, I ended up being diagnosed mainly by accident because they were going down the wrong rabbit hole for some time. But I was diagnosed with a stage 4 ovarian cancer process.
So that is shocking to me.
Right.
That is not a good diagnosis.
It's not. It's, you know, and again, as far as cancers go, my sisters on this journey who've also been through this, tell them don't get attached to the statistics that are online because they're grim. You know, when we have an average of 25,000 women a year diagnosed with this condition, over 17,000 of those die. That is not something you want to hang your hat on and focus. So I always tell folks, let's not be the statistic. And I'm here to tell you, as well as hundreds, if not thousands of my other women on this journey, that you don't have to be that statistic. But interestingly enough, just a little pearl into this is a precursor, a well-known predisposition to ovarian cancer is actually polycystic ovarian syndrome. And so now I can look back to understand how my autoimmune proclivities, if you will, also fed into part and parcel of the process that I call cancering. I call that it's a verb for me because it's a process, right? It's not an event. It's not like you went to bed one night and woke up the next day with cancer. It doesn't work that way. And so part of what I've learned in my 25 years of exploring my own body, my own terrain, and my own understanding of how and why I ended up in that boat, if you will, has also helped me understand that for tens of thousands of other patients and was ultimately what led to the writing of the book that my colleague Jess Higgins-Kelly and I put together, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. And it really is a very comprehensive approach that takes into account even autoimmunity and the things that feed into that process.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to say I did get a copy of it and I read it. I love it. And I kept sort of scratching out the word in my mind, cancer, and going autoimmune, because it so much of it made sense in my learnings and all the over 130 episodes I've done of the Autoimmune Hour that I was like, oh, yeah, this, you know, just scratch out the word cancer and do all this for autoimmune, too.
Great. I'm glad to hear that because that was ultimately our goal. But because I've been working exclusively with patients with cancer for the last several years before the birth of the book, it was that, you know, the publicist and whatnot felt it was best to name it sort of appropriately, though Jess and I both had the vision that you could cross out the word cancer and put in autoimmune, diabetes, osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, you know, Alzheimer's, any of the chronic illnesses that plague us today.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yes, absolutely. But let's first go back to the title a bit and describe metabolic for people. The title might be like, what is that? So what is the metabolic approach?
Well, beautifully, this concept, we're trying to also launch a new language into the masses. The metabolic discussion around oncology is, well, actually, it's not new. It's been around since the 1920s, since Otto Warburg's time, who was a famous biochemist at that time, who understood kind of an underlying metabolic kind of biochemical process that was happening in the cells that was more of the precursor to a cancering process versus the somatic theory that took root in our culture and our understanding of cancer, which is the idea that, you know, the prevalent idea today still is that DNA damage is what causes cancer, that it's just a Russian roulette game, that it's simply bad luck, that there's nothing we can do about it, and it just is the way it is. Whereas folks from the Otto Warburg time, and thanks to people like Dr. Thomas Seyfried, who wrote a very heady book called The Metabolic Approach, or excuse me, Cancer as a Metabolic Disease, that came out in 2010 or 2011, he sort of resurrected these ideas from the 1920s and helped us understand that let's take it back one step from DNA damage being the cause of cancer and to take it to the place where it's more of the mitochondria and how they're behaving and how they're functioning and how many they are there are and how efficient they are. That is really the precursor to either healthy or diseased cells, okay? And so, for instance, DNA damage would not occur if we have healthy mitochondria. And mitochondria becomes the root discussion cause etiology of all of our chronic illness issues today. And when we talk about metabolism or metabolic aspects, mitochondria are the powerhouses. They're the energy creators, generators of the cells in our body. And they're little organelles that live in each and every cell of our body. And in some tissues of the body, such as the heart, we have a lot more mitochondria than we do in, say, the finger, you know, the tissue of our skin. And so when that mitochondria gets kind of damaged or weak, which there's a million different reasons why that can happen, then it becomes susceptible to the DNA damage that then leads to chronic illness. One path, it might lead to cancer, another to autoimmunity, another to diabetes, another to autism, another to Alzheimer's. So when we can change the fuel source and the fuel response, the energy factory of our cells, we can have an outcome. And that metabolism is simply a term for energy. Okay. And so when we can change that energy source and efficiency, we can change a lot of things in our body.
Absolutely. In your book, I was just enthralled with that idea that it's changeable because I think, and I'll just use the term white coat authority because I hate to sort of point the finger at anything, but we've all experienced a white coat authority in our health journey. Oftentimes, I remember when I got my diagnosis, it was like a tattoo across my forehead, chronic, lifelong, forever, get used to it, live with it, won't change.
And exactly.
I guess for me, it worked because I'm a polarity responder and I kind of went, I'll show you.
See, but that's what I was. That's another thing in common. Tell me I can't do it and I'll show you otherwise.
Right. But I worry because I'm not, I think there are some who would just like get very defeated at that idea that it cannot change. But I do know it's a process because I know it probably took me a number of years to get to that point of the diagnosis. So I can't expect to pop a pill and tomorrow, you know, two aspirin and in the morning wake up fine. It's going to take a process to get out of it. And that's what I liked about your book. I mean, there is a lot of information in there and you're not going to get well overnight. But what I loved about it, it was a process that I could understand. So we talked a little bit about mitochondria and DNA, and I know, let's go a little bit deeper though into what do we inherit and what can we control besides the mitochondria? Are there things that maybe we're not there yet, or maybe we already have the autoimmune, but at this point, what can we control? Because sometimes it feels like our body is out of control.
Such a good, and I think that's a really good question because in fact, the very night that we launched our book, we were sitting in the bookstore and in our local bookstore and a woman doesn't even live in my town was visiting our town and saw the book title and she just sort of scoffed. I mean, she was actually pretty angry and said, I did everything right and yet I still got cancer, right? Now, I'm here to tell you, as someone who has evaluated the labs, the medical histories, the toxicant exposures, the epigenetics, meaning what we've inherited from our family of origin, I'm here to tell you that someone who ends up with a diagnosis of cancer or an autoimmune condition was not healthy once that diagnosis came to be. They may not have known it very blatantly, but once we start to explore that, they suddenly start to realize, gosh, you're right. I did start to notice aches or pains, you know, in this part of my body, or I did start to notice that my hormones were off, or I did start to notice that my food cravings didn't match, you know, what I actually needed, or just a lot of different things. Or they might have said, gosh, I worked on a golf course, or, you know, cooked in Teflon forever and ever and ever. And these are, now we're starting to understand a lot of the cause and effect. And so when folks really explore, which is what we hope that the book offers, are some ways to explore. So we have these questionnaires for each of these terrain possible obstacles, if you will, that could go wrong and cause some damage. When we really explore, we start to realize there's a lot around us, maybe unbeknownst to us, that's causing some discourse. And then the nice thing about it is we don't tell you the bad news without also telling you the good news, that there's also something you can do about it, right? And so one of the things we try to drive home is even if you choose, say, one section or one chapter to focus on, and you make some significant changes, for instance, say maybe you focus on getting a water filtration system in your home. Maybe that's where you start. It's going to have a positive impact. It's going to have a spiraling positive impact, and it's going to touch all these other parameters. So each and every change you make, each and every moment you have an awareness of what some of those exposures might have been that caused you some disharmony, you're going to make a positive shift. And it, like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. I have some clients who are like, I want to hit it all today and I'm going to change everything right now.
Of course, right? That's exactly.
And then we're going to have a few that are like, even two things is stressful and overwhelming. The beauty is it doesn't matter. Whatever is right for you is the perfect starting point. Just start somewhere. And you can start to sort of etch away at changing your terrain, changing what is wrapped, what is involved. You know, a lot of us get associated with our diagnoses, okay, whatever that is. And it starts to remind you when you start to look into the whole terrain that you are much more than a diagnosis. And we're trying to help people remember that. So hopefully just knowing anywhere you start is going to be beneficial. And then to have some aha moments of, wow, you know, that new couch I got that's just drenched in flame retardant, maybe that's where my system really took a shock and started to change, you know, things like that. Examples that would have been otherwise things we didn't have to think about 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. And then I think about my new grandchildren and their clothing is dipped in flame retardant too. You know, it's just also so scary and so shocking. But I wanted to talk a little bit, before we have to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back from this break, we're going to talk some more about some of those precursor symptoms, because as you started naming them off, I'm thinking of my own journey where 20, 30 years ago, even probably even more, there were little markers, obviously, but they were taken as individual symptoms. Meaning almost as if it was the flu, you know, here. And never kind of put together into, are we building a bigger picture that's going to have an outcome that's we don't want, you know, that's less than what we're shooting for. So we'll come back right after this quick commercial break and talk to Dr. Winters about how can we piece those symptoms together and in her book talk about other things about stopping them, because she went through a whole long list there. I was like, wow, so many things to think about. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here today with Dr. Nasha Winters, and she is the co-author of the brand new book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. Now, you might be going, cancer, Sharon? To me, cancer is an autoimmune disease because it strikes the same symptoms, maybe in a little different format, but we all have different diagnoses, and you know, mine attacks my skin and my muscles, and other people have it attack their gut. So it can be any number of things. We've been having some great information and understanding the what I'll call the mitochondria problem. And we talked about what we can control. And as we started through this great big long list of all these different, I'll say toxins that we've been exposed to, that I don't think my parents were typically exposed to all of that. And certainly not my grandparents for sure. So, I mean, this just list, as you went off, everything from Teflon to our clothing to our new couch, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what are some places that, I'll just say typically, I know no autoimmune is typical, but if you were to give somebody the optimal place to start, where would that be?
I think that's a fantastic question because it can feel very overwhelming. So where I start with someone who has a lot going on, a lot of symptoms, whether it's autoimmunity, a cancering process, dementia, diabetes, or other endocrine dysfunction issues, you know, that concept of think globally but act locally, that's a really good rule of thumb here. So I tell folks to kind of start with just a general sort of audit, if you will, of the home. So it might be, let's look inside the refrigerator, the freezer, the pantry. Let's look under the kitchen sink. Let's look in the medicine cabinet. Let's look in the garage or cleaning products, maybe the laundry room, because those are things that are super easy to replace, get rid of, throw away, add to, switch over, because it has become, as you noted, you know, my gosh, since World War II, we have over 80,000 chemicals introduced to our world today, with less than 200 of them well studied.
Wow.
Just go to your instinct on this, right? It's like, is that a good idea? No. And so doing our best to be mindful of what we're putting on in and around our bodies, it can be one of the most significant factors. I've had a lot of folks who eat perfectly. They're eating 100% organic. They're, you know, exercising. They're doing their mind body stuff. They're taking all the best supplements to work for them. And if you invite me over to your house for dinner, I am the person looking in your medicine cabinet and looking under the counter. If you've got air fresheners plugged into the wall, you are poisoning yourself. If you have new clothes, new furnishings, new remodels, you are poisoning yourself. It's just the way it is. That's why it's actually better to even purchase used items from years ago, whether clothing, home furnishings, et cetera, because they likely don't have those flame retardants, or they've off-gassed enough to not be so heavy on the burden. I've watched many a patient with cancer have a recurrence or a progression when faced with a new remodel or new furnishing. Same thing with autoimmune patients. Suddenly we kind of do a little detective work and we can go, oh gosh, it started after they did a big remodel at the office, you know, or something. We can see sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. So just be mindful, if you are dealing with some health issues, maybe that's not the time to do a remodel on your house. Going the green model can be more expensive, right? So budget for that. And at a time when you're more stable with your health and you can invest more in the green building materials, then that's the time to do this. Those are small examples, but really exploring. There's a website called the Environmental Working Group, and they're basically a not-for-profit, non-affiliated with any industry out there, just sort of watchdog that are doing the research and assessing how certain things are affecting us today. A lot of new things since our parents and grandparents. And when you talked earlier about sort of the familial things, what are we born with? What do we have control over and not control over? Less than 5% of all cancer and even extreme chronic illness have a truly genetic, non-changeable cause.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You would think so was more, because that Angelina Jolie thing just made you think like, oh my gosh, you know, huge percentage of us are walking around with a gene that's just going to like all of a sudden become an ugly tumor.
Absolutely. Right. And that gene, the BRCA gene, and other genes like the ATM gene, the Lynch gene, these are genes that are changeable. Okay. These are genes that are epigenetic issues. So epigenetics means above the gene, meaning that our diet, our lifestyle, and our thought processes can change the expression of that gene. So I'm going to go a little step further here. Removing your breasts or your ovaries because you have that gene will not change the epigenetic expression. So I personally have had 7 patients who did prophylactic surgeries who ended up later dying of their stage 4 cancer, that they had removed the site, you know, the organs and the site in order to prevent cancer, yet they didn't change anything in their diet or their lifestyle. They didn't do a house audit. They didn't look at what they're being exposed to. So methylation issues, the BRCA gene, for instance, is very sensitive to radiation. And what do we do to these women with the BRCA gene? We radiate the heck out of them, not just once, but often twice a year through mammography. You know, women who get one chest x-ray before the age of 20 have a higher percentage risk of cancer, you know, breast cancer with or without the gene. I mean, there's certain things that are the expressions of these. So I wish the conversation when Angelina Jolie did this would have been more around how can we change the expression of this gene versus do prophylactic surgeries, which are not the answer. And so that doesn't mean don't do the surgery if you want to work on your risk factors with that as a part of your plan, but it certainly means that you need to look at the rest of your terrain and change that epigenetic expression. We've had a 47% increase in BRCA mutations since World War II, which is directly linked to the crazy crap we've added to our environment and our food source and our stress response. So these are just examples of the types of genes we actually can change and can change the expression of. And so a lot of us think that it's a non-dynamic, like a stagnant, this is the way it's going to be if you've got that gene.
That's the way I was born.
It's dynamic. Exactly. And I have that gene. And so I'm a dynamic process that theoretically I shouldn't be here. Theoretically, I should have had multiple recurrences or it's not be gone by now. But here I am 25 plus years out from a terminal diagnosis. And it's been a lifelong process. Not only do I not have cancer or I'm not cancering anymore, but I also don't have any of my autoimmune issues anymore. Even though I still show the gene for RA, I still have the proclivities, you know, towards endometriosis and PCOS and celiac, but I changed things in my diet and my lifestyle to change the expression of those, of that potential, if you will.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's exciting to know that, you know, like I said, it's not a tattoo on your forehead. So we need to take another quick commercial break.
Great.
But when we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Winters about diet, because that plays such a central role in so many things. And we're going to talk even about sort of the emotional issues around changing your diet as well. So we'll be right back.
Beautiful.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Dr. Nasha Winters, and she is an expert in all sorts of things, what I'll call a different approach to medicine, a different approach to healing, actually. I won't call it medicine, because to me, that's like after the fact or something. I don't know what it is, but a different approach to healing. And she's been sharing with us that there is really a lot of good news around these sort of very scary diagnoses. There's a lot of new studies and a lot of very good news around them. And one of the things I think is often misunderstood, and she alluded to it, was maybe you say, well, but I have been eating really well. I used to say that too until I learned what that really meant. And when I gave up gluten, dairy, sugar, things like that, those were all in my diet of really well. For heaven's sakes, the bread was fortified.
Exactly. Or your nice hearty oatmeal in the morning with your glass of orange juice. You know, those are the, you know, when I look at a standard American considered healthy diet, when you open up a menu at a restaurant and it says the healthy menu, I look at it and it's frankly more unhealthy than the other options. When they serve you up your low fat, you know, your egg whites only and your low fat cream cheese on your whole wheat bagel with your side of banana on your steel cut oats with your glass of orange juice, just in that breakfast alone, you've eaten 3 days worth of sugar by breakfast. That's our standard American diet. And that's our healthy one. That's not the big Cinnabon or your, that big unicorn rainbow Frappuccino thing.
What was that?
I have no idea. I'm like, what in the world? It was just completely out of order. But basically, those are the things where when I do, I take a thorough diet history and a diet diary. I have people tell me what they eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including the brands or where they purchase them. So I have a sense of what their food quality is all about as well. And no one, well, and I should take that back. We're getting a growing number of patients who really are understanding what a good quality diet is for them. And so it's been really fun to watch this process changing. But basically, we have spent the last 50 plus years believing a lie, believing that fat was bad, that low fat was good, that eggs were dangerous, that lard was dangerous, that even in the world of cancer and even autoimmunity and chronic illness, that vegetarianism was the way to go. I jokingly say I'm a recovered vegan and vegetarian because those were what you did at that time. But of course, for somebody with an autoimmune history, those tended to be very high grain, lectin, legume, dense foods that were just throwing my autoimmunity all over the map and causing me more problems. So I've had to learn a lot through trial and error within my own body and that of tens of thousands of patients. And going back to what our parents and our grandparents ate, depending on your generation. In fact, we have a bumper sticker on our refrigerator that says, eat organic food, or as our grandparents called it, food. We can go to such great lengths now to like find something clean that's not altered in some way or added to in some way. And so it's all of those alterations to our growing of food methods and our raising of animal methods and even what we've packaged them in and how we cook them that have changed our nutrient density and changed our nutrition today. And because of things like glyphosate entering the marketplace in the 1970s, we went from about 1 in 500 people with celiac disease to 1 in 10. And, if, you know, we've been blaming the poor gluten, the poor wheat kernel, but it's what we've done to it. We started a different sort of hybrid after World War II and the Cold War when we lost our Russian fist. So we had to grow it fast and furious. And what we grew had 70% more gluten in it. And then in the year I was born in 1971, we thought, great idea to add an herbicide to everything so we can harvest, you know, at the same time.
And add the herbicide right before we harvest.
Exactly. So right about
when so it's still wet.
Exactly. So it's literally drenched in it by the time it goes into production for us to ingest. And my gosh, we've just now finally, after 45 plus years, are finally calling a spade and explains this is a known carcinogen, much to the chagrin. We're one of the last industrialized countries on the planet still using this poison on our food. And it's everywhere. If you eat grains, if you eat beans, you are absolutely getting glyphosate. You can test for that now, by the way. It's a simple blood test if you don't believe me. And even organic, because the cross-contamination of these foods is pretty much drenched. If you've got an organic field planted next to a non-organic field, that organic field is going to be contaminated. In fact, all of the wine in California, even the organic and biodynamic, has been found to be polluted with glyphosate. So today it's very hard to get away from these things. And it's the glyphosate that they feel may be the biggest explosion to all of our chronic illness today, be it cancers, be it autoimmunity, because it completely changes our microbiome. It completely changes the lining of our digestive tract. And I'm sure your guests have spoken a lot about our immune health starts in the gut, right? We're just a tube with a body wrapped around it. And whatever's happening in that tube is what's happening on the exterior as well. And so if we're poking holes in it like Swiss cheese with things like glyphosate and chronic irritants in our world around us, including our food, then boy, howdy, our immune system can't function properly.
Oh, I'll tell you though, that sounds so depressing with this idea that even buying organic, we're still being exposed.
Yeah.
Just in the studies, I'm not sure if you would know this or not.
Yeah.
Well, obviously buying organic is going to be better regardless,
right.
But is there any way not to be exposed to glyphosate? I mean, you can't just go around not eating.
Right. So. Even being a breatharian, we've got really dirty air today too. So not, it starts to feel a little bit of a Debbie Downer. You know, Michael Pollan, who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma, he has a great quote that said, it's hard to live healthy on an unhealthy planet. And that's true. So remember, we used to always have the 80-20 rule that, you know, moderation is fine. Well, today we don't even have that luxury. We have to keep it as clean as possible, because even then, keeping it as clean as possible, we are still being exposed. So things like exercise is going to help you sweat that out. Things like certain supplements, like a lot of fiber, a high fiber diet, 25 grams or more a day, is going to be a binder to those toxins. You can even take a nice probiotic. You can even take things like activated charcoal to bind some of those toxins. Far infrared sauna, sweating. I mean, one of the big clues most of my autoimmune clients have, don't sweat. That is your largest organ of absorption and elimination. And if you're not sweating, you are just holding on to poison like there's no tomorrow. So get, you know, basically you are what you don't poop and you are what you don't sweat. So move it out through breath, through bowel, through spit.
Well, that's a vision.
It is. I apologize for that, but it's very, people get it when I say that. And so movement, keeping everything
slow. Oh yeah,
slow.
It's stuck in there now.
Like, I can't erase it. Apologies. But that's the thing, is every day, think of sort of like, just like you tidy up your desk or do your laundry or clean your house on the weekend, you're doing this to your body on a day-to-day. So flooding it with fresh quality filtered water, flooding it with quality, especially plant-dense foods that are your cofactors that help you detoxify all the things we're being exposed to in the environment. You know, so one of the things we shoot for people to try in our book is shoot for 9 cups of vegetables a day. This is a very Terry Wall-based concept from Minding Your Mitochondria, her wonderful TED Talk, and how this is a woman, a medical doctor, who took herself out of a wheelchair and up on stages all around the world, teaching people how to heal their body from severe autoimmunity simply with food. Okay. And this is the beauty, is we have really downplayed it. And still every day I meet someone whose doctor tells them food means nothing, diet won't change anything at all. Fire that doctor. Okay. You have the right.
Oh, I did.
Fire that. Oh, yay. I love it.
My very first rheumatologist, and I am just, with my diagnosis, I lost 60% of my skin in a very short period of time. And I'll tell you, so you go in looking like awful, people are staring at you, you know, type of thing. And he says, what have you been doing so far? And I, only what I knew to do. Okay, I'm eating as clean as I can, drinking filtered water, went there, got rid of all the perfumes and the cleaning products, all of that. And it had been about a month I'd been trying to heal myself naturally, and I finally realized that we had to intervene.
Yeah.
And at least stop the process before I started on the clean path again.
Good.
And I remember he said, in all seriousness, so what have you been doing so far? And I told him, and he, in dead seriousness, said, right in the eye, none of that is going to help. And I have to be honest, what happened was that evil little thing on my shoulder said, see, I told you could have had the cookie.
Human nature, right? Human nature. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Because I have an emotional attachment to that cookie to make me feel better. And so I'm thinking, well, that helped a lot, because I had to start the whole, not only just the whole process of continuing to tell myself you're on the right path, regardless of what white coat authority says, but the emotional part around the wanting the cookie, because I grew up in a beautiful family. I mean, very loving, but it was like, here, have a cookie, you'll feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
The chocolate chip cookie or the oatmeal raisin was a staple that you got after you had a hard day at school.
Yeah. So. I love that you bring that up because you're so spot on. Food is love. Food is emotion. And for many of us, especially if we're dealing with a chronic process, many of us come from places where maybe the only source of joy or love that we had was via food. And so making some of those initial changes can be very disruptive and very challenging. And when you think about, you know, if you were a normal born breastfed baby, your first taste in this world is sweetness. It's the galactose of the mother's milk. And so, in essence, we're all trying to get back to that first connection to mom, to love, to unconditional love. Right. And it goes part of our brain that is hardwired. In fact, cocaine and sugar exactly push the button in the same spot in the brain. And in trial after trial after trial, when rats are given the choice of cocaine or sugar, they will always choose sugar. So that's interesting.
Oh, now that's scary.
I know. We are very addicted to this. So it takes a level of self, you know, will, but support and understanding, because just, my gosh, at the end of the 1800s, we were averaging an average of 5 pounds of sugar per person per year. Today, statistics in 2014 show that to be 175 pounds of sugar per person per year. No wonder we're all addicted. Right.
And so, oh my gosh, we need to take a quick commercial break. And on that scary note, because I'm thinking of, that's a lot of sugar. That's like what an average American male, maybe, or maybe not an average, but an American male is of sugar walking around that we eat.
That's a good
analogy. Sorry, another picture I can't get out. Okay, we'll be right back after this quick commercial break. I'll compose myself between now and then.
Wow. That's a great visual. I will use that, Sharon. That was perfect. Yeah.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're here with Dr. Nasha Winters, and she is an expert on all sorts of things about an integrated approach. I like to say a very functional and intuitive approach to cancer prevention. And I see so many parallels with autoimmune condition. We've been just going down all sorts of wonderful rabbit holes and covering all sorts of topics here. And when we had to take that hard commercial break there, we were talking about sugar and that 175 pounds per person per year. And as I was thinking about that, and I disappeared there for the commercial, I mentioned that's like an average American male, and I thought, well, no, Sharon, actually, it's pretty good looking, pretty good looking American male, 175 pounds. So,
we don't have that.
I mean, it's a nice image, right? So just sweet as sugar. So that's how I can remember that for me, my little mind game there. But let's talk about this, because I know when I got off sugar, it didn't take that long for I start to feel the change. And now my taste buds are actually different. I know that might sound weird, but sugar tastes different now than it did before, which I think is a good thing, because now I can't really tolerate it.
Perfect. And that's just it, is this is one of those tastes and cravings that we can absolutely overcome. And so part of the dangers of what created this is, again, I mentioned earlier, when we started pulling fat out of everything and made fat the villain, we loaded it up with sugar, because if you pull fat out and don't replace sugar, it tastes like cardboard. So sugar became our palate of the last two or three generations.
Is that why you find in a lot of things, like even bratwurst, do you find sugar?
Is
because they've taken the fat out?
Or peanut butter. I mean, my goodness. Yeah, even cheese.
I kept wondering, why do you have sugar in that?
Exactly. Any, like your processed meats, your processed cheeses, your peanut butter, your nut butters, you have like a tomato ketchup, for crying out loud. It is added to everything. Yogurt. Yogurt is my biggest like bone to pick, because I'll go to a city and you can never find full fat, organic, unsweetened yogurt. They all, if they have yogurt, it's low fat or no fat, or it's not, you know, it's just these crazy things. And I just go on a soapbox to the poor vendors of these grocery stores, because it's like, you are giving, look at the difference of a full fat product and a no fat product. Look at the sugar content on the back of a yogurt container. That will teach you all you need to know about this. So when we started to go,
if we're preaching to the grocery store though, I'm thinking, so that poor dude is like, or gal is going, I agree with you, but they're not, but
no,
the general
selling
public not going to buy it.
Right. And you'd think with the work of people like David Lustig and Gary Taub and the whole movement in the ketogenic diet for a variety of conditions, from diabetes to Alzheimer's to cancer, that this conversation would become more and more mainstream. We're just not there yet. We are too attached. I even did a lecture for doctors a couple weeks ago on nutrition and spoke to them about this. And really, out of all the lectures I gave, this triggered the most backlash, because no one can get rid of their sugar. Everyone, we're a bunch of addicts. It's like asking an alcoholic to pour out his wine, you know? And it's such a funny thing. And I just love to watch it, because it is, it's very emotional. And so what we start to do to help people is we start to look at other ways to bring sweetness into the life, into your life. We start to find other ways when those cravings hit to know that they last about 15 seconds. We also let folks know that if you're craving sugar, start with a big glass of water, because usually you're dehydrated. After that, if you drink the water, if you drink your glass of water, wait 15 minutes. If you're still craving sugar, then have something with fat or protein, okay, pure fat or pure protein, like a hard-boiled egg, or like a big scoop of coconut butter, or half an avocado. Wait 15 minutes. If at that time you're still craving the sweet, by all means, have the sweet, right? It's going to take some reprogramming, if you will, of the neurochemicals.
Well, define a sweet. Are you talking have a piece of apple, not have a cookie, right? Living here in Oregon, and you know, apples are pretty juicy and sweet. So define sweet.
Well, the thing is sugar is sugar is sugar is sugar, whether it comes from a berry, whether it comes from a candy bar, whether it comes from a potato chip, a slice of whole grain bread, or a scoop of sugar, right, you know, or honey or maple syrup, it's all the same. It all turns into carbohydrate and sugar. So we've been preaching for folks to eat more fruits and vegetables. Everyone's going to reach for the fruit first, right? And forego the vegetables.
Yeah.
People have a smoothie. When I go to a health food store to order a smoothie, I have to like look through and realize I have to create my own, because everything is sugar-based, juice-based, fruit-based. And so I basically have, when I make a green drink, I use about a quarter of an organic small green apple as my sweetness. Because just as you said, when you start to get away from sugar as the mainstay of your diet, everything else tastes sweet. Where Just a simple plain scoop of peanut butter or almond butter with no sugar added will taste sweet. The taste of a sweet potato will taste very sweet. Everything starts to change. Your palate can't even handle even a strawberry after a while. It'll taste really sweet. I remember growing up and we'd add tons of sugar to the strawberries and then pour cream on it, you know, and it was like, why would you ever add sugar to this? It's so naturally perfectly sweet. You know, or adding honey to a banana-based shake. It's like, wow, sugar on sugar on sugar. So in the beginning, even fruit can keep people addicted to the sweet flavor. So if you have a really strong addiction to sugar, or you're extremely diabetic or whatnot, you're going to even need to have to forego the fruit for a little while until you reset that metabolism, that metabolic process, and reset your cravings so that then a few berries or a small apple will taste divine and even feel luxurious to you versus it being the gateway drug again into something else that starts to push your sweet tooth.
I want to circle back with a quick question though. You had said 9 cups of veggies a day. What is your idea between cooked and raw? I read so many different things and people with autoimmune, their digestive tract can't handle raw, so eat cooked. From other things, people say, oh, you got to have all the enzymes and nutrients of the raw.
Ultimately, if we all have perfect digestion, we need a mix of both. Okay, because there's certain nutrients that need to be heat mobilized, and there are certain nutrients that are going to be lost when we heat them. All right, so I'm married to a biochemist, so this is the type of things we talk about for fun. That's just the way it is. So ultimately, you're right, like in Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, a weak digestive tract cannot handle raw foods. So for folks who are convalescing or have very weakened GI function or low enzymatic process, we might need to help them along with a little more steamed, blanched, roasted, pureed vegetables. Now, once they get stronger and stronger, they should be able to tolerate a little bit of raw in there with no problem. Now, there's also the other end of the pendulum that if you're eating only raw, you're causing a lot of spleen damage. You're causing a lot of digestive, and I'm talking from a Chinese medicine perspective, which breaks down assimilation issues as well. So being fully raw also misses some of your vital nutrients. So that perfect blend is a little bit of both, and that also tends to go seasonally. We tend to have a lot more cooked foods in the winter. We tend to have a lot more raw foods in the summer. And you'll notice the quality of those foods are a bit different. They're a lot lighter, you know, easier to digest in the summer months. And whereas like kale and the root vegetables, those are a little bit denser. You got to cook those up or they don't go anywhere. And so blending that is obviously key. Now, if you know your own body and you know, gosh, raw food and I don't get along, or hey, too much cooked food is a problem, listen to that and you'll find your way. So, you know, with the 9 cups of vegetable, we push for folks to shoot for like 3 cups of leafy green, 3 cups of colorful, and 3 cups of cruciferous. That's all dry pre-cooked weight or measurement. So they'll, you know, fluffy. 3 cups of spinach is really fluffy. And when you cook that down, it's like this big, you know?
Oh, that's so good to hear, because I'm thinking, yes. Oh my gosh.
You know, you got it.
I'm thinking like 9 cups. Wow.
Totally. Like my green drink, you know, it's like half of a nice big cucumber, a big handful of parsley, a couple stalks of celery, a lime, some ginger, and a handful of spinach. That is a, like 2-3 servings right there, you know, of vegetables, maybe even 3 to 4, depending how big of a green smoothie or a juice you make. And that is a huge, you know, great for folks who can't get it in, say, in a big salad. My breakfast, I try and front load my breakfast with greens. So I saute up a lot of zucchini, maybe sprinkle some green chopped green onion. I love a lot of herbs. I love herbs pack a nutrient dense, and they also count towards your vegetable intake. So I load up a lot of pestos, different things onto my eggs in the morning. I do eggs or just even sauteed greens. I just really enjoy that for breakfast. That's a great way. A lot of people don't think of breakfast as a time to front load your veggies, but it's a great place to do it.
Oh, it seems like a great way to just at least start it out, because I know by the end of the day, sometimes you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
We're at the oh, really part here. I can't believe it. We're going to have you back. We're out of time.
Yay.
This has just been fantastic, because I have another list of questions right here. I'm just going, you know, that I wanted to ask from your book. So we'll have to have you back soon.
I would love
because
it.
This has just been fantastic information that we haven't gotten anywhere else. Please take this time to talk about your book. How do people get it? And how do they find out more about you and your clinic?
Oh, thank you. Well, this has been fun. And I'd love to come back and especially if people have specific questions, I'm happy to answer those as well. But again, my name is Naysha Winters. I'm a naturopathic doctor and practitioner of oriental medicine, and you can find me at optimalterrainconsulting.com. You can also follow me on Facebook under Dr. Naysha Winters, Optimal Terrain Consulting, and The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. So three different Facebook approaches. On Instagram, I'm on Optimal Terrain, all one word. And the book itself, we are very excited. It's been out. It really started hitting the shelves June 1st. It's already been a bestseller on Amazon, and it's moving quickly to a bestseller on the New York Times. We're incredibly excited about its reception. And you can find it on Amazon, Chelsea Green Publishing, Barnes & Noble. And if you've got a local proactive health, like bookstore, you should be able to find it there now as well.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. This has just been fabulous. All sorts of information. I just love it when I'm going, I didn't know that. That is the best kind of interview for me and for my tribe. Just keep our intrigue and our curiosity about what can we do to continue to be, we call ourselves thrivers, not survivors.
Yes. Same and, here. Yes,
we're the... We're the thriving tribe, regardless of our diagnosis. Thank you so much, Dr. Winters, for being our guest on the Autoimmune. And everybody, we're going to have her back on. Have a great weekend, whatever your adventure. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Do you want to be a better leader? Have better relationships? Become more self-aware? Be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.